So to answer the first one, the shelter or if Barbadians don't know, predominantly most of the homeless persons are elderly.
Okay.
So more we already deal with elderly homeless people. They're nothing new. They sleep at the shelter every night. So they're not new. In terms of if you're talking about medication and all of these things, there we have people on board that are underneath our nursing sector. And we also have people that are regional. And we have to be, let's not be naive in our thinking. If the organization is going to take on a certain set of people, it is obvious that we would obviously have to find the staff required to further the organization and not just take on people just because we want to. So if in the case that we know we're going to need a doctor on board or we're going to need a nurse on board, that is what we will seek to get. But the hospital have already put in place a community nurse, and I think it also consists of community doctors that would assist and is going to be visiting the organization. And this is regardless of the 30 or not that comes, right? They already put that in place because they understand that the organization has been grappling with elderly and they need care. Also, there's the National Assistance Board, which gives elderly care. So there's so much support system out there. And it was a proposal that was put forward to the hospital to basically assist them, you understand, to relieve them of that. So there are things that were thought out, and well, we did not have time to put everything in the media, and the media would not report on every single detail of the proposal. Mm-hmm. We are a responsible organization. That there are things that we would have to put in place. The hospital did visit our location. They were satisfied with what they saw. I say also on the security, there is our without divulging how much of our security system, there is full security system in place for our shelters. And yes, there are various dorms within the organization that separate. There's also a floor for females and there's a floor for males. So there are separation and security barriers in place that no matter what, it would be a little bit impossible. Nothing is, it is impossible for a male to get to where a female is or where a child is or whatever the case is. It is a well-secured shelter. And as I said, we have been visited by the hospital and we have been visited by numerous persons that would have vetted and understand. And we do have, when the hospital came, we do have an extra floor that we have not used as yet that we have also offered that could also be used to help. Because, again, we don't want to be a reactive organization when these persons would end up being on the street and then we lost them and 2 years later or 3 years later, you're now finding out that this person was abandoned or that person was abandoned, and it makes the job a little bit harder in terms of finding them. So we have to move to being a proactive country rather than a reactive country. It was just a proposal that we put forward in good faith.
Well, thank you very much. I really admire the work that you have been doing, and I commend you. Keep up the good work. Thanks for calling. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning. This is Down to Brass Tacks. I would just like to follow up on the last call we had from Mr. Safri to let him know that there are others who are also commending the work that you have been doing. I also have a particular interest in civil society organizations, the non-governmental sector, and the work that is done in this area that often is not given enough attention in terms of the support that many organizations across Barbados do provide to ensuring that people are well taken care of and maintained. You know, a lot of organizations do work that we don't often see, and they often step in to assist where the government is unable to provide everything. And we know that the government cannot provide everything. Let's take a call. Good morning, Down to Brass Tacks.
Yeah, good morning, Mrs. Stein.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
I call in. I have been waiting a long time. I just called in to read a few poetic lines.
Oh, okay.
And it's on the American election.
All right.
And if you let me proceed, I tell you rather kind.
All right, go ahead.
It goes like the American election. Mm-hmm. The Americans selected Joe Biden because they wanted him the man to guide them. So they put a stamp on the ex-president Donald Trump. They wanted the leader to put them back on track, so they voted Democrat. They could not take Donald anymore, so they voted Joe. He and his vice president-elect, the first black woman to be selected. created history never seen, and she has roots buried in the Caribbean. Joe, you and your vice president, Kamala Harris, has the chance now to stop all of this racism. We are depending on you and Kamala, Joe, to put all of this racism through the back door. He said he felt great to be president at 78 and was honored with his election in the presidential, in the 46th presidential election. That's it.
Oh, thank you. Is there anything else you would like to say?
That's it.
Okay. Thank you. I enjoyed the poem. All right. Have a good day.
All right.
Good morning. Down to brass tacks. Do we have a caller? You are on the air. No, it seems that we're having a little bit of difficulties with our callers today. There are quite a few, but somehow I'm not hearing them. Good morning. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You are on the air.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Right, this is my first call to Brass Tacks.
Oh, welcome.
Thank you. It was prompted by the lady who called earlier from Christchurch West.
Yes.
So it leads me to ask some questions to some person like you who is a political analyst.
Okay.
What does the electorate want? Do they want some person who runs the country efficiently?
Mm-hmm.
Or they want some person who check on them every weekend to see if they're going good or bad?
Mm. Well, I guess it depends on what you see as efficient. But go ahead, continue.
Right. Okay, but the reason why I'm saying this is that in the last government, even though everything wasn't going as well as people would like, they had some ministers who I believe, and this is my opinion,
mm-hmm.
who did a very good job. I think Richard Seeley was one who stand out. And also Stephen Blackett, he stand out as well.
Right.
Now, if you look at this administration now, you look at people like Kurt Humphrey, who seem to be doing a very good job.
Mm-hmm.
And Lieutenant Colonel Bostick, who seem to be doing a magnificent job.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the question is now, if, for example, Larry News Humphrey, for example, the persons in the BLN which she represents, are not seeing him as often as they do. However,
I think they do see him quite often, though, from what I see on social media. But go ahead.
Just using that as an example. Let's say they're not seeing him very often, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he's doing a very good job at the ministerial level in terms of promoting Barbados, doing the right things in terms of getting things going, pushing forward. And in the instance of Mr. Bostick, keeping the COVID away from Barbadians and so on, but people in the Chapman Lane area, in the Orleans area, is not seeing him. Which is more important, in your opinion?
They are both important. And
right. This
is the problem, right? So I have been on some discussions before about the reshuffle that discussed the size of the cabinet. And that's one of the concerns. When people are elected, they are elected to serve as your member of parliament, your representative. They are supposed to represent the people who live in the constituency and to deal with the needs and requirements, similar thing, of those who live in the constituency. Now, if they take on an additional job within the cabinet, they are then required to do two jobs. And the two jobs would be whatever their portfolio is in the cabinet, and the other is still to represent those in the constituency. So if elected members are unable to do both jobs, this is a problem. You have to find people, if you're going to have them within your cabinet, who are going to do a very good job within the cabinet, but still represent those within the constituency. And for me, this is one of the reasons that we should not have an extremely large cabinet, because to assume that all of the MPs have this competency is perhaps quite a large assumption.
Okay, what about the MP now who is not elected to a ministry, but that person is an attorney at law or a physician or engineer or something like that?
Again, they have two jobs. They have to do both of their jobs properly.
There's no getting away from it then.
Mm-hmm.
There's no getting away from it. I think the solution would be, though, is that each elected politician or elected politician should have, they should have like a committee within the constituency. To go, just like how when just coming up to elections, how you go around doing canvassing. I think these people should never stop canvassing. I think these people, as soon as the MP is elected, they can do it probably once a month or weekend, once a month, to go around to the same people who they ask for votes during the election time.
But they do have constituency offices, and they should have their own teams that should be assisting. So
right. So we should have a situation where, for example, the Christchurch West, for example, the lady knew that she called in earlier and was very frustrated. But I'm saying that if Mr. King would have had an active committee going around at least one weekend per month, going to the same people that you'll be knocking doors at during the elections, I don't think that call would have come through this morning. Because we need this type of representation in Barbados, because sometimes the politicians are only human. And as I said, they excel in their ministerial positions, but then they're sadly lacking at the parochial level.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, so, and I think they have to find a balance, because you're elected to do a particular job, and that is important. Running the country at the macro level is also important. So this is a difficult job, and people that want to run for elective politics need to make up in their minds that they are putting themselves forward to do something that is very difficult, very time demanding, demanding on your personal life. You will be criticized. So people have to be prepared for that. And I think in considering running for elective politics and in selecting potential candidates, these are things that we all do need to bear in mind, that you shouldn't really be neglecting your constituents. And if you are privileged enough, if it is a privilege, to serve in the cabinet, that you are going to have an even harder task, because you are tasked with helping to run the country at the macro level, but you still have to serve your constituents.
So in your opinion, then, what you think would be the answer?
I think the answer is that those who are representing us have to do both jobs, and they have to do both jobs ably. If they don't, they should consider what the consequences of this may be. As the previous caller said, her thought is that you vote out the person. Not everyone may think this way, but it is a possibility that if you are not doing work in your constituency, or people do not feel that you are doing work in the constituency, you may not find yourself representing that constituency at the next election.
But Dr. Hines, it leads me to ask you another question then. How mm-hmm. then does running the country now, which is more important, it depends on how you look at it, how does running the country, making the decisions that making the country straightforward, how does that now fall into place now with that said politician in terms of what his, because as you said, it's a very difficult job.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that when you do and as minister, you make decisions that enhances Barbados for the general population, not only for the Christchurch West or whatever the case might be. But if you are a politician and you are a minister and you are doing work that would enhance the entire population, how does that look? You know, how does that plan out versus the constituency?
Mm. Yeah, that's a good question. I think if people are doing well within in their cabinet portfolio, that many of their constituents will look on this favorably. But there are the people that want to be represented at the constituency level, and if they feel neglected, they may make their decision. So,
I'm going to go away and leave you no bit. But I'm saying that based on the discussion that we have now had, I don't think we have come to a conclusion, because.
Well, I don't know how we can come to a conclusion, because you can have someone who performs very well in the cabinet and does not necessarily perform well in their constituency. But the point is that you are elected in your constituency. So if you have a system like in the U.S., for instance, the president selects the cabinet and the members of the cabinet do not come from elected members. So that gives the president some freedom to select people to do a particular job that has nothing to do with their own re-election. Our system is set up in a way that we elect people at the constituency level, and then the prime minister can draw from these people to comprise the cabinet. So there is this sort of overlap, and I don't know how we would resolve that. Maybe somebody has a better answer for you and wants to call in a little bit later.
I just want to ask one final question to you. So do you feel then if the MP
mm-hmm.
has people within a committee functioning as a committee, do you think those persons should be paid? Even if it's a stipend?
If the MP can afford to pay them. The MP does get some money for the constituency office. So there is a little bit of money available. But, you know, that is up for the MP to decide. I know there have been these town hall meetings recently about local government in Barbados, and the idea is that local government is supposed to help to rectify some of these issues. I have a slightly different opinion on this, because my question is, if you do have local government, then what is the MP doing? I know there's supposed to be a connection between the two, but our constituencies are so small. We're talking about 10,000 people in terms of eligible voters on average. I wonder if there's not an overlap in functions, but this is supposed to be one of these solutions. But thank you for your call. I really did enjoy it. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Good morning, Christina.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. And you?
You're not too bad. I'm going to be very, very brief.
Okay.
I want to associate myself with the same concern that Alvin had in relation to those persons that should be discharged from the hospital and going to the center.
Well, they may not be going, remember? Mr. Safri said it's a proposal, so we don't know if the proposal will be accepted.
I know that, but that's what I'm saying. I had the same concern, too.
Mm-hmm.
But then, apart from that, let's put that aside. I don't know what would happen with that if it is agreed on. But the other part I don't like when I read the paper Saturday is when it was said that the center would be getting interested in the legal aspect of the person's check. I don't believe that nobody should interfere with a retired person's check, whether they are on the streets or whether the hospital discharged them. Let the family deal with the check and do not intervene legally to take that check from that house. That's my concern, because that house may have gotten children, grandchildren, that need to eat out the granny check. That granny put in place. Nobody is offering granny. Granny will got to decide that my check is going to buy food for this house. And even if the members of the house does not treat granny well when she's discharged, that check should remain granny's check, and nobody should be losing any legal understanding to take it out and change it to go in the direction of granny, wherever granny is sent, or where granny is, wherever granny is on the street. Do not interfere with granny check legally. That's all my concern was.
Okay.
You understand? So I hope that you get some reaction from that. Leave the person's check out of the whole system. The hospital is not going to discharge 30 people and put them on the streets. But his intervention to house them, leave the check out of it. Let the government pay for the person they discharge, wherever the government send them. And that's my contribution.
Okay. Thank you for your contribution. Good morning. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning. Good morning. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Hello, Dr. Hines.
Yes.
Good morning. The call that you had prior to this last one, again, piqued my interest and prompted me to call. It is an interesting question that he raises about how we see the political model and the political governance of the country in terms of how the MPs handle both the responsibilities as MP and as minister. I certainly am in favor of a full separation of powers, where you have an executive and you have a legislature, and those in the legislature are not those who are part of the executive.
Mm-hmm.
That is not something that is in vogue in the Caribbean, but I think that offers a better model in terms of governance of the country, in that you have the legislature then becomes the group of people who then basically have oversight over the executive and can, in many respects, as we've seen in the model in the United States, where you have the Congress, which is supposed to act as a oversight to the executive, being the president.
Yes.
and the cabinet. And in that regard, I think that if we had that in Barbados, that would help us a great deal. Also, I would also suggest is that in terms of having the in having members of parliament, it will also say that all members of parliament, I presume, have constituency offices,
yes,
which are staff, and I think they're also paid. The staff is also paid out of the public purse.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe there's also a need to expand. I know in Trinidad there's a very sophisticated setup where, you know, the parliamentary representative actually gets about at least 4 or 5 members of staff for each constituency office, which is paid out of the public purse. Again, another measure to help governance in the country. So there are a number of things that can be done to assist, and it's not just a matter of just putting people in an office and saying we're giving them some money. You have supporting roles to support the parliamentary representative in his functions as the MP, where you have a research assistant, you have an executive assistant, and other such staff. And even if you, I would also urge you to take a look at the City of Toronto. They have a lovely document which also makes very interesting reading, which you'll probably find on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
About how they're managed. Their whole arrangement in terms of the city council.
Okay.
So there are models out there that we can certainly review,
mm-hmm,
even implement, to make the whole issue of governance in Barbados far better than we see it today. And I think that at this stage of being a 52-year-old democracy, or however old you are, 54 years old, uh-huh, by the end of the year, that these are issues that need to be put on the table.
This is Down to Brass Tacks. We have to go to a break. Good afternoon. This is Down to Brass Tacks. I am Christina Hines. In response to a previous caller who was talking about checks from the elderly, this is in speaking about this proposal for elderly persons to be housed at the homeless shelter. I'm hoping I'm using the correct terminology. Mr. Safri has sent us a message via WhatsApp to clarify. He says the organization has no plans to take anyone's checks. Persons are abandoned whilst families live off their checks. These said elderly persons can use that money to better themselves. However, the organization does not want the checks. Or are we using their checks as any form of payment? The legal aid we are offering will assist persons in getting their checks, which they can use for their own betterment. So this is just to ensure that people are not concerned that pension checks will be used to fund this organization. So we thank you for that clarification, Mr. Safri. Let's go to the calls. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning. Good afternoon, sorry.
Hello?
Hello. You're on the air.
Please. Yes. I would like to give Mr. Safri 5 stars.
Okay.
For the work that he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a retired nurse, and if I was much younger, I would give him all 2 of my hands. And I would like that either the social service department or whoever is dealing with these old people and the pension checks or the national insurance to look into what he is doing, so he can get assisted, because if he's going to take in these people,
mm-hmm,
he is going to need funds. And that is what they do in the United States.
Okay.
So I wish him the best in his endeavor, because he's doing a wonderful job for these old people.
Yes, we certainly do commend him. Thank you for calling.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Down to Brass Tacks. Oh. All right. So we also have some comments on the WhatsApp about the role of members of parliament. One individual is asserting that public officers do the heavy lifting in ministries, not the ministers. Most ministers have no training in the subject matter of their ministries. This is an area that I think is worth noting, not to say that they have no training. Some may not. But the civil service is really important in helping to run the country and to ensure that it functions. So the task of executing policy is not all of the task of the ministers. It's not all about the ministers, even though these are the people that we may see publicly. We see their faces. We may know their names. There are many people who have worked for a long time within the public sector to help to implement policy and to ensure that the country is run, even if we may not be always satisfied with the way in which it is run. We also have some other commendations from Mr. Safri. It is commendable what Safri wants to do. However, there are some concerns about the level of health professionals that may be needed in the shelter. He has assured us that there is some assistance that they gain from health professionals, however. There are also some questions that people are asking about the presidential system in the United States of America. There are some who have asked why we are so concerned about this in Barbados. Do we pay taxes in the United States of America? So where are we going on and on about this in Barbados? There are others who are asking about how the system works in the United States of America. So whether the electors are duty-bound to elect the president, and how is it that the media is calling an election and not the electors? This is an interesting thing to consider. The electors really are supposed to represent the will of those who have cast their votes in each of the states in the United States of America. What you have is that the media houses call the election on the basis of what they see of the vote coming in. So even though none of this is finalized as yet, it looks almost impossible for the election result to go in another direction at this point in time.